The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
One of the things that I think is really wonderful about life or practice is the quality of respect, that to respect things, to respect others, to respect oneself, to respect everything, and that to whatever arises, to respect it. So some of the things that arises is our suffering, and it's counterintuitive to respect our suffering, but there's a life of respecting everything. And the thing that I want to emphasize today about what we respect is that our thinking. Because in the meditation circles, Buddhist circles, sometimes there's a kind of a disrespect of thinking. Because people have this idea you're supposed to, some people have the idea you're not supposed to think at all when you meditate. And so there's somehow it's wrong that we think and it's a problem. Some people think that they're supposed to let go of their thinking, and so therefore, if they're thinking, something must be proof that something's wrong about them. But it's possible also to respect the thinking. It's definitely part of human life, and not to be dismissive of it, not to be disrespectful for it, but to appreciate that it has an important role in human life, and. It has a huge role. If we look around in civilized society, like what we have here in this building or in the streets, just about everything our eyes land on is here because someone had a thought, or thoughts, many thoughts. Thoughts are kind of part and parcel of the environment and the world we live in, and ideas, and even the idea that the traffic lights, green means go and red means stop, is a kind of a thought, an idea that we're operating under these thoughts, these ideas. So they're really a big part of our life. And so one way I find that to respect thinking, that's interesting, is to distinguish between those thoughts which are disconnecting, that they disconnect us from ourselves, disconnect us from others, and those thoughts that connect us in a deep way, connect us to others, connect us to ourselves. And so you can actually feel for yourself, recognize in yourself the consequence of certain kinds of thinking. Certain kinds of thoughts are disassociating, well short of the psychological, like a psychotherapeutic category of disassociation. Just admit, ordinary people will have, that happens. I start thinking about things and I'm no longer present for whatever's going on. I'm watching a movie and I realize I haven't watched the last minute of it because something in the movie triggered some thought, some memory, and I'm now disconnected from it. I'm kind of in that thought and all that. Or in a conversation with another person, you realize you didn't know what they just said because you're thinking about your answer to something. And so there's a disconnect from the person. There can be a disconnection to ourselves. We can get lost in fantasy, and the fantasies or memories or in projection futures. We can be spinning stories of how terrible things are going to get. And we're just kind of telling ourselves stories. Goes around and around, the stories, and some of these stories are very compelling, but if you're able to step back and look at the consequence of this, sometimes you'll see, oh, I lost touch with my fuller sense of who I am. I lost touch with the world. I was really living in the story. That's where the center of my attention, my life was in the story of my mind. And so you feel a disconnect with so much. And then there's other kinds of thinking, where you feel like really connected. You feel feel like that you can have these thoughts and you feel really grounded and centered in oneself, in yourself. And you're not separated from the environment. Maybe you're not actively thinking about it, but you feel like you're almost like you're really here. You're here for the experience and you're not lost from anything. And the thinking can be creative. It can be wise. It can be necessary. It can be thinking about important things that we have to do in our lives. I associated it as this deep way of thinking that we feel really connected to ourselves as the source of poetry. That poetry, in my mind, arises out of a much bigger, wider, more holistic sense of who we are and what's available, what's kind of operating together, then it can be if you're kind of ruminating about the traffic ticket you got and how you have to go to court and what are you going to say and what's the judge going to say and you're kind of like spinning in like with traffic court kind of thoughts and kind of disconnected from yourself, living in the fear of traffic court and all this kinds of stuff. That's not going to produce much poetry, I don't think. But to be settled, peaceful, quiet, there can be rich thinking. We can think new thoughts. We can understand our life in a different way, in new perspectives. We can think poetry. It's a source, maybe a similar source that love comes from, real love. It comes from some deeper place of being connected. There can be superficial love, like the pursuit of, sexual pleasure or a pursuit of the neediness of wanting to kind of be connected to people so strongly. The need for connection is so intense that paradoxically, we're disconnected from ourselves. And the connection is not really deep because we're not there to be connected to someone because we're not coming from this deep place. But if we're fully connected to ourselves or deeply connected to ourselves, then there's more of a connection that's possible to be made with other people. And so this reference point, am I more connected or am I less connected? Am I more aware of myself? Is more of myself included and present here? Or is less of myself present here? Is there more a feeling of some kind of connection with the other person? Or do I feel disconnected? Am I pulling back? Am I shutting down from that person? Sometimes you can feel that physically. You can feel sometimes a physical shutting down. Then you're not really there for the person, not available or something. And other times you can feel that it really feels open and very available and present and, ready to receive whatever the person's going on, whatever the person needs. If the person's angry or grieving or upset about something, there's an availability for you to be present and be connected. Other times, the same person comes and you feel, no way, I'm so dealing with my own struggles and I don't have any space for that. Then you can almost feel like, the disconnection is there. So connected, disconnected. So in relationship to thinking, which is kind of the theme I thought for this little talk, is to appreciate when is thinking disconnecting, when is thinking connecting. Don't automatically have a disrespect for thinking. All thinking should be respected, but in the respecting it means to look more carefully at it and then see what kind of thinking is it. Is it helpful thinking or not helpful thinking? Is it connecting thinking or not connecting thinking? And if you have a choice, just seeing that is huge. But then maybe you have a choice to switch things a little bit. Maybe you can change something. Maybe you realize you just kind of lost in traffic court thoughts. And he said, well, I do have 15 minutes before I have to go into the courtroom. I think I'll go sit underneath a tree. Maybe that, you know, just being under a tree for me is just so nice. And I realized, you know, I need something different here. I think I'd be better off if I felt more connected or more grounded. So my examples might be not fit for you, but it's just my attempt to try to fill out the picture. But the important thing is this practice, this capacity to see the consequence of our thinking. And is the consequence something that you like, that is supportive for you, or is the consequence not? And if it's not supportive of you, take that seriously. Don't just like check it off, I did that, then go continue the unsupportive thinking. And which is so easy to do because the power of those thoughts, the power of concern that drives them can be so strong. But to see that this doesn't work, this is not connecting, this is not supportive, and then what can you do? You can ask the question, now what? What do I do differently? Is there something different? Rather than barreling ahead back into that world of disconnected thoughts. So leaving you with that as a mindfulness task, if you'd like, we'll stop and then we'll do the mindful cleaning for those of you who can stay and